Hi, babes. Welcome to the Highway to Health podcast. We are your hosts, Elvi and Vale.
The podcast for open conversations about health, talking about the struggles of living with chronic illness, coping with emotional hardships, and sharing all the lessons we've learned along the way.
We want to be a source of information, empowerment, and community, but we are also here to show you that we are normal people too and have struggles and off days.
Grab your green juice, lemon water, herbal tea, or whatever suits your mood, and make yourself comfortable and get ready to get on the highway to health. Hi, babe. How are you?
Hello, love. I'm doing. How are you?
I'm good. I've had a little bit of a sore throat and cold situation over here the past day. So if you can hear anything with my voice, that's probably why. But I have my lemon water on my right side here. So if I get a dry throat and I'm about to cough, I'm going to rely on that. And I'm super excited that it's February already.
Like, oh my god,
the first month of the year is passed so quickly.
Yeah, it's honestly wild. Like, time just passes by so fast these days. I don't even know where. Like, it is February. I can't even wrap my head around that. But
I know.
Definitely exciting. A new month, setting new goals, new intentions. So it's definitely going to be a good one.
Definitely. And we're going to kickstart February and the first episode of February with a little Q&A. And I always enjoy doing these with you because it's like a chance for us also to get more personal with all of the listeners and our followers. Yeah. And if they gather up questions during like other episodes that they want to ask us, this is the chance. So for the next time, definitely look out on our Instagram because we usually put up a little question box in our stories. And there you can submit really any question you would like to have an answer to, because we believe there are no stupid questions at all.
Yeah.
So, and especially when you're into healing and all of this holistic lifestyle, it can get confusing and hard sometimes. And we would be happy to help you with any kind of guidance. Oh my God, helpy.
It's early in the morning. No, but I completely agree. I really enjoy these episodes. And I can't even remember. I think the last one that we did was literally in season one. So it was definitely time to do one of these again. And I completely agree that it's such a nice opportunity for us to kind of chat more personally and get into some things that you guys also care about and want to hear about, and kind of, tackle some of your concerns and struggles. And so I think it's going to be a really good episode. And we hope that you're going to enjoy. We're going to jump right into the first question. And this one is something that I know that I get a lot. I think you definitely do too.
Same. Always in the DMs.
Always in the DMs, exactly. This question is, how long does it take to heal? And it's an interesting one for sure, because this is not one where we can just like give you a straight answer. This is very personal to every person. And I think also something to consider is that you never like, I don't want to say you never fully heal, but like in a sense that like you always continue to heal. Like, of course you can get to a place where you feel really healthy and you feel really happy and well, but at the same time, there's always going to be continuous things that you can work on and that you can improve. And I think that's definitely something good to kind of remember. And also something that I want to kind of bring up here is to the importance of enjoying the journey rather than kind of trying to get to a certain destination. I think that's super important on this kind of path of health, because there's always going to be ups and downs. And, certain times are going to be better, certain times are going to be maybe worse. And so it's important to kind of like be present in the present moment and enjoy the journey, because it is a very beautiful, it can be a very beautiful path. And it's, I think it can be a lot more fun when you actually try to enjoy the process rather than constantly thinking about the end result. And I completely can relate that you want to get to that destination and you want to heal, and it will happen eventually. But again, I think it'll come a lot closer and it'll happen a lot faster when you are just like present in the moment and you kind of enjoy where you are right now and are grateful for the things that you have currently. And also be grateful that for the fact that you are on this journey, because I think that's also a massive thing. A lot of people don't start their journey until they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And so, or even at all in life, you never know. But and so in that sense, like, be grateful that you are on this path and that you chose this path to health. But yeah, let's hear your take on this question.
I mean, I think you pretty much covered it very well. I think, like Valentina said, health is definitely a journey, not a destination. And we've mentioned that so many times. And that's also why I love the name of our podcast so much nowadays, like The Highway to Health, because it's a road that keeps on going. And you can take all of these like different exits and try new things out. And maybe they work for you. And then you just keep on going. And some other exits might lead you to learn a lot, but they might put you back a little bit on your healing. And that's fine because we always take three steps forward and two steps back, but you always keep on taking one step forward. And that's the same with health. So, like Valentina said, when we get these questions, usually it's so hard to reply like and say a certain time frame because it depends so much on your personal health history, what symptoms you're having and how you're feeling right now, and also what do you consider to be healed? Because like for me, I've healed over 60 symptoms, but I still don't consider myself completely healed because it's
Yeah,
like
exactly.
not something that I'm striving to be. I just want to live a healthy lifestyle, which makes me feel good. And I think it's just about enjoying the
The progress that you're making. I don't know if that's exactly the word, but the progress that you make, focus on the progress that you're making, because in the end, like, if you focus on those things, then you're going to attract more of that. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that I wanted to say was that I think a lot of people can feel kind of like guilt or fear around like kind of putting expectations on yourself, thinking like, oh, why haven't I healed this yet? Or I should be further along in my journey or whatnot. But in reality, like, just think of it as like the progress that you've already made is so massive. And the fact that you're moving, like, it's always the most important thing is like the direction that you're moving in and not the speed that you're getting to wherever. And I think that's such an important thing to remember. And like, I always think of it as like before I kind of like officially started my healing journey, I had so many years, 20 years of like, yes, eating somewhat healthy, but still I was eating a lot of things that now I know trigger me. And so my body has to also eliminate those things throughout time. And like, I'm so grateful for the fact that I was able to kind of get a lot of those things out in a certain amount of time compared to the extent of like my entire life building up those toxins, And so in that sense, like, it kind of creates like a ratio of like 20 years of accumulation of certain things and toxins and whatnot. And then for me to start and like be able to heal that in such a short period of time, it's like that just like gives you an immense sense of gratitude for your body and the things that it does for you. And then, you feel a lot more positive about the fact that, where you are already compared to where you would have been if you wouldn't have even started the journey.
Definitely. And I think it's so important to keep in mind, like you say, that it will take time and it's going to take the time that your body needs. Your body won't, like, if you stress your body too much, then it's going to let you know that. And when you want to heal something and heal the root cause of what's actually making you sick, it's not going to be a quick fix. Like, you probably know this because you've probably been to all of the doctors and other people who will subscribe or not subscribe you, but prescribe you with some medicine and or medication. And they say, okay, take this once a day and you will be fine. But then maybe a year later, you'll notice that you're still as sick or even worse with other side effects from that medication. So what we're working with like here and what we promote for this podcast is really going down to the root cause, finding that and treating that and not the symptom, like treating the root cause, and the symptoms will be gone together with that. And I think that's important to keep in mind also. And we also got another question that's kind of related to the path of healing. And that's, where do I best start if I'm at the beginning of my healing journey? And this is also very individual, of course, depending on everything from what you're experiencing, if you're having different symptoms, chronic illness, autoimmune disease, or if you're just having, maybe you're having any mental illnesses, if you suffer from anxiety or depression, or just want to start healing, become a healthier version of yourself, no matter where you're at right now. And I would say, like with anything, setting goals or just getting started on chasing your dreams or your health, the best tip for me would be to just start today and not wait until next week, next year, or even tomorrow, because you can always start over, like right now, next minute, next second. And just taking it in baby steps. So not doing everything at once. Maybe try to get in some more hydration at first, and you can see how your body reacts to that. And then you can start with the morning cleanse by bringing in some lemon water in the morning, to then adding in the celery juice and more fruits. So really taking it in baby steps going forward. And one essential part, like, of beginning your healing journey as well, would be to write down all of your symptoms that you're experiencing or wherever you are starting from, and then writing down where you want to be so that you can visualize that and always keep that in mind. And that's, like we always say, having your why behind and your intention behind where you're going and why you're doing it, so that you constantly remind yourself of why you're starting your journey and where you want to go.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you said. I think definitely the why is a major thing that it's so important to get clear on when you first start your healing journey, because that is really what is going to keep you motivated, and that's what's going to keep you going on the days where things get more tough and maybe you don't want to keep going and you feel maybe hopeless because you're taking a step back or whatnot. That is in the end what is going to keep you like going forward and keeping at it, because in the end, consistency really is the thing that is going to make the biggest difference. It's not what you do, it's about doing it consistently. And I agree that the morning cleanse is a really great start for a really great point to start for anybody, because I think it just gets you kind of like, creates like a really good setup for your day as well. And I really believe that the way that you start your day is the way that you're going to carry yourself throughout the entire day. And I think this really links with that, because if you choose healthy habits in the morning, you're much more likely to then choose healthier habits throughout the entire day. And so this is really just a tangible thing for you to kind of put that in practice. But yeah, no, I think that pretty much answers the question. I think the why is the most important. I think what you said also about writing down where you are now and then writing down where you want to be, I think that's really great advice, because it really just sets you up for like visualizing exactly where you want to be. And when you gain that clarity as well, it's much more easy for you to then actually achieve that, because you know where you're getting, where you want to go. And then with that also, you can write down some action steps for you to take in order to get there, to kind of break it down a little bit more so that it's not too overwhelming to think of like the overall goal where you want to be, but rather to think of the small action steps in order to get you closer to that place, because every point where you get closer, then the next action step, you're going to, you know, you're always going to decrease that gap. So that's also something that you can do. But yeah, let's move on to the next question. Somebody said that their bloating doesn't go away. And we actually have a whole episode on this, on bloating. So definitely, if you want to kind of get more detail on it, you can go back to that. I think it was in season one of our earlier
Yes.
episodes. We can otherwise link it in the description so that you can
Yeah.
find it easier. But for this question, so I think in general, a few things to consider are definitely morning hydration is a really good one because I feel like it flushes out a lot of toxins. And throughout the night, when your body clears out a lot of toxins, it's good to get those out of your system because that's the whole point of healing is to eliminate the bad things. Then I think ginger is such a good tool for bloating. Ginger water, ginger tea, adding ginger into your smoothies or your juices, that's such a great way to decrease bloating. In general, increasing hydration throughout the day is also very useful because it gets your stomach moving and it gets just like things processing more. I think greens is also a really great way to decrease bloating as well. And just drinking more teas and things like that that are like soothing for your body. So really decreasing that inflammation is super important. I think another thing is to go on walks between your meals or like in general, just throughout your day to get yourself moving. Or even if you don't feel like you can do a walk, just to do some gentle stretching or a nice yoga flow, just to kind of get your digestive system to give it some like movement. And that can really just like push the bloating down and so that you can feel more released. What are your tips?
I love that. I really love the hydration part in the morning, making sure you get that in throughout the whole day, but especially in the morning, because like Valentina said, that will really flush your body out of any toxins. And when it comes to bloating, I mean, of course, there is an imbalance in your gut, but mostly in your liver as well, which a lot of people forget about. And you giving your liver the right amount of hydration is essential in helping it out to flush all of those toxins out. And movement, of course, as well, because that will increase the circulation throughout your whole body so that your gut also gets the right amount of nutrients and can heal bloating or any digestive gas that is bringing you discomfort. And I think in general, a really good guideline for bloating is also to bring down stress. So stress reducing activities, because when you're in the parasympathetic nervous system, then you're not in the rest and digest, you're in the fight or flight. And you really want to incorporate like more calming activities and see how you can do that in every day. So like even just giving your friends like hugs, meditating, journaling, maybe if you find relief in like singing, do that, listen to
I love
music,
that.
connecting with others that bring you like the right energy, and also getting enough sleep, because I notice a huge difference in my gut health if I get enough sleep or not. And just like also, of course, nutrition. Valentina mentioned like ginger and some different herbal teas. I know peppermint is really good as well. And leafy greens really help clean your gut. So that's also a good one. And celery juice, of course, because it will like help your gut restore the hydrochloric acid. And if you have a good hydrochloric acid buildup, then your body and your gut will be able to like face and digest more foods that maybe otherwise would leave you bloated. So I think definitely if you want to go like more in detail to this, listen to our episode about bloating. But bloating can definitely go away, and sometimes it's just like taking it step by step and looking at some things that you can change up. And see what little things you can do daily to support your gut.
I have two other things that I just remembered that I want to mention. One of which is to eat more mindfully, because I think this is something that really helped me personally, because I also used to deal with a lot of bloating. And I noticed that when I eat and I don't pay attention to the food that I'm eating and putting inside my body, then I'm much more likely to feel bloated and like uneasy afterwards. So that's definitely something that you can pay attention to. And also not eating too close to bedtime. I think that's also a massive thing because your body, when you're sleeping, your body is supposed to be resting and like not still digesting the food that you ate. And so just leaving a couple hours between your last meal and going to bed, I think can also make a massive difference. And also for you to sleep better. And then, that obviously plays into you feeling more rested and decreasing stress. So it all plays into each other. But just wanted to mention that quickly.
Yeah, and also like on the note of eating and like the times you're eating, also being consistent with your meals or having like a routine around them, because that will really help your body navigate all of the foods that you're getting in and being ready to digest the food once it gets there. So mindful eating is definitely a huge one as well. And on to the next question, which is actually about no foods, and that's how to handle the fear of no foods. And this one is also something we've brought up in quite a few episodes around like how a lot of people, and also me myself in the beginning, developed a fear of the no foods. I was so afraid of like getting the tiniest bit of it into my body because I thought that it would trigger my symptoms and make me so much more sick. And I mean, I was not that like aware of why the no foods maybe triggered some symptoms or irritated my body, as I would have wanted to be, but I just dove right into it and eliminated all of them at once. And I mean, there are different ways of going about that, of course, but I think the most important thing in order to like not establish a fear, but rather a respect for the no foods, is to learn why they're good to maybe reduce or eliminate completely for a while in your diet, because then you understand what they like, what purpose they have in your illness or in your symptoms. And if you want to heal, which you of course do want to, then you'll also notice how good you're doing without them. And then all of a sudden you stop craving them and you rather like make active choices in order to stay away from them, which is super cool. And then you're not making those choices based out of fear, but just out of like information and empowered choices, which is the goal. And of course, I mean, it's so easy to be afraid of something that if it can make you sicker, because no one wants to become sick or even like have a flare up. And then, for example, when eating out, when you don't have that much control over what's going into the meals, then that can be harder. And then make sure to like call the restaurant in advance or go to a place that you know don't use certain no foods, or like restaurants that don't cook with canola oil, for example. And yeah, I think that's like the basics of what I would say. But of course, we can go into this as well. I know we've talked about the no foods a lot as well, so I can link that as well. But how would you like handle, or what would your advice be in handling the fear?
I definitely completely agree with everything you said, like with most of these questions. But I think mindset also plays such a big role with the no foods. I think for myself, especially, I was definitely the same as you, and I developed this like crazy fear of these foods that triggered me. And I think that kind of created a sense of like, if I have this food, like even just the tiniest bit, I will have a massive setback in my healing journey. And I think having that sort of mindset, like we always say this, but like your body, or your what you think in your mind, your body is always going to try to make make that your reality because it doesn't know the difference between a thought and reality. And so if you continuously think that, then of course, when you do have the foods, like, you know, if you had, like you said, like if you're eating out or something, and maybe there's a little bit of something in there, and you're thinking those thoughts, you're going to be affected by it because your body is trying to make it true what you believe. And so, yeah, in that sense, mindset is like a massive thing. And that is definitely something that has made the biggest difference for myself. Especially like when, you know, there's times where I eat out more, and even now, like, of course I can handle these foods better than maybe I used to, but I do think that mindset has played, like, has made such a big difference in that, because I don't think of it as dramatically as I used to. And I completely also agree with what you said about understanding why you're eliminating these foods. We always say that the intention and the why is so important, and kind of just eliminating it, like you said, without kind of knowing why you're doing it, can be just like very counterproductive in a way, because you're just doing something just kind of like for the sake of it, not really understanding why. And for myself also, it really created such a better understanding of really why I'm eliminating these things, of why I'm also avoiding these things. And like, it's also just like when I then did, after a certain period of time of having eliminated it, and then, you know, maybe having something again, and then reacting to it, I much more clearly understood, like, wow, like my body really does react to this so sensitively. And then I can create so much more like understanding, and kind of like from personal experience, like, okay, this is how I experienced it, so that's why I'm not doing it. That's certainly how I feel with alcohol, for example. It's like when I don't drink for a really long period of time, and then I have like a drink often, then I'm kind of reminded of why I'm actually not drinking. And so sometimes it's also a good reminder. So kind of see it as like a learning process, for sure, a learning curve. There's always new things that you can kind of take in and like learn from, and don't feel too much guilt or shame or something when you do have a no food, because it's life and you can't avoid every single thing sometimes.
Exactly.
And there's going to be things sometimes in like restaurants and things like that that you can't avoid. So just be easy on yourself, and don't be too hard on yourself with these things, because in the end, you're doing everything that you can in order to heal. And it's also like, think of the grand scheme of things. Like, think of all the positive things that you're doing for yourself in order to heal. Then that one tiny little thing is not going to completely set you back, and completely, like, you're not going to lose everything that you've worked for. And I think this is something that our minds naturally kind of like go towards. It's like also, you know, if you receive 10 compliments in a day, and then you have one bad, like something, somebody said one bad thing to you, you're always going to think of that one bad thing instead of the 10 good things that people said to you. And that's just like the mind, like the way that our minds kind of work. And so I think this is just something that you have to train yourself to kind of think of all the positive things that you're doing, rather than focusing on the one tiny little thing that maybe went wrong or didn't go as you planned it to.
Yeah, mindset really is key. And also acknowledging the fact that it's like, in reality, it's not the actual food that's making you sick, but there is something inside of you, like rather bacterial strand or virus or other things within you that react to these foods, that feed off these foods. So naturally, when you take them away, you will give those pathogens less space and room to grow. And you will notice that difference in your body as well. But I was so afraid, like, of, if I get this, if I have no food, then it's going to make me sick. Like, I thought that would be what made me sick, but that's not the reality. It's just like food for the pathogen, and seeing it as that also makes it easier to avoid for me.
I agree with that.
And I think like having any type of fear around food is not the way to go, because food is there to fuel us and provide us with energy, and just like knowing what gives you energy and what's most nutrient dense and provides you with healing vitamins and minerals is the key. So put your focus there and a little less on the fear of the no foods.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. This next question sort of ties into our first question, which is handling that some things take half a year to leave the body. And I think we pretty much answered this probably in the first question, but yeah, I think with any symptom, like you're never going to know how long it really is going to take to heal or for you to feel better about it. So I think one good tip for like kind of dealing with this is to track your progress, because it's really easy for you to start on your healing journey and make progress. And again, like our mind always focuses on the things that are going wrong or are not going as we wish them to. And so bring your focus to the things that are going well for you, the progress that you're making, and just the wins that you're experiencing, because that way you're training your mind to focus on the positive things, and that way you're also attracting more of that in your life. And just be patient with yourself. Like you never are going to know how long your body is going to take to heal something, and just see that as like an exciting journey, and take it day by day, and don't try to like say like, oh, in half a year I'm going to be healed from this. Don't put that deadline on yourself, because it's just going to add more stress to yourself. And it's just going to kind of cause your healing journey to really take longer, because yeah, you're stressing yourself out, and we're trying to reduce stress here. And that's also going to help you heal faster. So that's my take on it.
I love that. And it's such an important mindset to have. And also, in terms of like if they're referring to any no foods or other like heavy metals in the body and how long that takes the body to get rid of and leave. And I think handling that some things take maybe half a year or even a year or maybe a week is again mindset, because it's in the body and there is like only so much we can do about it. Actively cleanse it out. But when you're doing that, just trust that that's what's needed to get rid of it and not get caught up in exactly the amount of time that it will take for your body to let go of it. Because I believe that then you'll put your energy onto those things and your body will hold on to them for longer. So just try to actively focus on what you're actually doing to cleanse your body. And then that's just going to happen on its own as a result of that. Mm-hmm. So I hope that answers this question. And on to the next one, which I really like, is how to be spontaneous and socializing and spending much energy on planning everything in details around food, for example. And if you're on like a healing journey, especially the medical medium protocols, you know that a lot of like time, effort, and love needs to go into your daily routines and preparing your foods and like making it work with your daily life. If you're having a full-time job, of course, then you do need to plan, because that will get you ahead on the days to come, and it will really facilitate your healing. And that's why some people like find it hard to be spontaneous and socialize, because they don't find that they don't have a lot of time left at the end of the day, or maybe not a lot of energy either. So I think just like going with the flow, and maybe some days look different from the others, and really take advantage of that and being able to be spontaneous. Yeah. So if you want to be spontaneous and like socialize, of course, that's something you can do depending on the energy levels that you have. And that can look different from each day or even each week. And one thing that I really learned like to navigate around when it comes to like social gatherings and friends and planning is that I learned how to say like that I think that really sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you for inviting me. I would love to come, but I can't like let you know for sure right now. I'll see how I feel the day prior to, because I don't want to make like false promises or let someone down. And then of course my closest like friends, they would totally understand, but especially like socializing or networking with new people, you want to be as honest and open as possible around like your way of going about. And even though like planning takes time for the food and your routines, especially, they're so worth it because in the end, it's going to turn into a habit and a routine that doesn't take that much time anymore. It's just like integrated into your day to day. So that will also leave time for socializing. And the further along your healing journey you go, you'll have more time for like socializing and getting to know more people or spending more time with like friends and family, and also to be spontaneous. Because in the beginning, like I'm honest, I was not like able to be spontaneous at all. I had to plan everything in advance, and even like making plans for a month ahead, like then in the end, maybe I was having a super bad day and I couldn't follow up on those plans. And socializing was like really hard because when you're so sick, you don't have energy to be your happiest, healthiest, like most bright self. And especially like when you're living with brain fog or memory loss, it's so hard to be there physically, like, and join in on conversations. So just maybe tune into your body and see what you can handle right now. And it's totally okay to be by yourself or like your closest people around and spend more time with them and with people who really give you energy and healing.
No, I completely agree with that. And I think also embracing the journey is such a good way to kind of like see this in a more positive light, because like you mentioned, like it is a lot of work to do all of these things, prepare all of these meals, and it is definitely like a massive lifestyle change. But if you think of it from a perspective of like you're doing this for your health, and like if you think about what your health really is kind of worth for you, worth for you, is that right? That doesn't sound right. Like what your health means to you and how much you value your health, like if you think about like if you're unhealthy, nothing else really matters. And so you're doing this for your own good, and in the end, like you're really working towards like a life where you can just feel really happy and healthy, fulfilled and passionate, and just like really light and not like feeling down and feeling weighed down from like certain symptoms that you have. And that's ultimately the goal. And if you keep visualizing that, like then you're going to feel much more easy about like doing all these things and planning these things. And in that sense, I have this quote from Anthony that I wanted to say, which is, it is what it is and you can't change it, but you can change the way that you look at your situation. And I think that that's so, so true, because like, yes, you can't change your circumstances sometimes, but you can always change your perspective, and you always have power over how you react to certain situations and how you perceive things. Like, yes, you can always come at it with a mindset of like lacking and kind of like thinking, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that and they're doing this and I don't feel good enough to do that. But at the same time, you can also think of it in a sense like, I'm resting right now so that I can feel better later. And just coming at it from a more positive perspective can also just like make things a lot more easy. I think another tip for this is just communicating. I think you kind of mentioned this as well, but really communicating your needs to the people around you can make such a big difference, because it creates this sense of understanding for them. And you also feel more understood and like your needs are being met, because a lot of the times, like you're healing when you, at the beginning of your healing journey, maybe you feel really down, and like also detox symptoms can be really tough for a lot of people. And so it's so important to have a supportive environment around you, and to have people around you that you really feel give you the things that you need, and you get love from them and support and compassion. So that's something really good to consider. And in general, like with socializing, being spontaneous, I think with this kind of lifestyle, it's definitely hard to just be spontaneous. But one thing that has definitely helped me in the past is, for example, when I know that I'm going to eat out with like family and things like that, to always call beforehand for the restaurant. Or if you know that you're going to an event at a friend's place, just letting them know of your needs, and maybe even bringing something yourself as well. Just like be flexible in that sense. And I think also something that's really helped me in the past is when I make meals, to make a bigger batch and then freeze a bunch of it. So then, you know, when you have a day where it's like your day was super full and just like super busy, and in the evening there's nothing else that you want to do, then just like have a nice meal and like, you know, be able to enjoy that and not put a lot of work into it. You can just defrost it and heat it up, and then you're ready to go. And that way you're really just like also continuing to nourish yourself rather than opting out for like maybe a less healthy option that goes a little bit quicker. So that's something that really helped me as well. But yeah, I think those are some really helpful tips from our side. I don't know if you want to add anything else.
No, I think like you pretty much covered everything in extension to what I said as well. And it's so different for everyone, but really like Valentina said, like there's no price that you wouldn't pay in order to be healthy when you've been sick. And like, that's also time, because time is money, and giving yourself enough time to be by yourself and heal, and not having like putting too much expectations or musts on yourself in regards to like meeting others' needs and other people's expectations of you. So really just tune into yourself. And in the beginning of your healing journey, when you are at your like sickest point, then that's not going to look like spontaneity and like super socializing. And that's so okay, because once you heal and feel better and start feeling more light in your symptoms, then you'll have more time for that. And you will be able to like live a more sustainable lifestyle as well. And on that note, we can jump right into the next question, which is morning habits that we can't live without. So what are yours, Vala?
I love this question. You guys know that I'm super passionate about my mornings. And I just think that, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, that your morning really sets you up for your day. So some morning habits that I have been loving recently is definitely hydration. That is like the number one thing that I always do every single morning, just rehydrating my body after so many hours of sleeping and not, you know, consuming anything or hydrating yourself. It's super important to rehydrate yourself and also just flush out the toxins that your body has been eliminating throughout the night. So that's one thing that is like a non-negotiable for me. Then I think movement is also something that is a top priority for me, because again, your body was in like a certain position for many, many hours and you weren't moving or anything. And so my body is good when I just get myself moving a little bit, whether that's going for a walk, doing some stretching, doing a workout or anything like that. So that's something that I love to do. And then I also love doing something for my mindset. So at the moment, I've been really enjoying like meditations or having affirmations for myself, just to kind of get myself in a headspace where I really feel motivated and compassionate for myself, and just feel like I can kind of embrace things, certain intentions and things like that for my day. And that way I also feel like I'm much more productive throughout the day. And I just like carry that mindset throughout my entire day, because for myself, like I know that in the morning, sometimes it can be daunting, kind of everything that you have to do throughout the day, and it can create a lot of stress. And so there, I really try to prioritize kind of embracing that positive mindset for myself. And yeah, I think that pretty much covers the top things that I'm doing for myself at the moment. Obviously, this always changes, but that's kind of what I'm embracing right now. What about you? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much have like the same morning wants or needs for ourselves, which is we've hacked the code. No, I'm just kidding. There's no like one code, but I feel like we both are similar in our needs in terms of like really listening to my body's needs and really drinking. I've started drinking like a warm cup of herbal tea before anything, actually, because I feel like when I wake up, I'm so cold. Like usually when you've been sleeping, you don't want to get out underneath from underneath the blankets because it's so cold. So really getting like a warm cup of tea in the morning and before doing my lemon water and celery juice has been a game changer during the cold season.
Wait, do you do your lemon water cold?
Yeah, I do my lemon water like room temp.
Oh, interesting. I do my lemon water warm.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like warmed lemon water. I don't know why.
Interesting. I mean, I add a little bit of honey during the
Yeah,
winter to give me
that's
that.
good. I mean, definitely I can do that as well. But I don't know.
No,
I,
fair.
you know, because I drink this chicory root. So it's a coffee alternative as well. So it really gives me like the coffee feeling in the morning. And it's a little bit, it feels like it's a little bit more filling than just drinking lemon water. But of course, then I have that as well. So I mean, warming up my body is a part of my morning habit right now. And then I love to do some stretching in between like hydration pauses of celery juice and lemon water. And depending on the day and how much time I have, I love to move my body as well on like going out in nature. It can just be 10 minutes, but just getting in a walk. And that can be even if like I really try to leave a little bit in advance so that I can walk there. Because usually very like perfect walking distance to basically anywhere, which is so nice. And then really sit down like and take time for my breakfast. So whether I'm having like oatmeal or my smoothie bowl, it's basically just those two. I
Those are
really treat those are
the
the two options right now. But I really like sit down and like no screen, no TV, no cell phone, and really try to sit with my meal and yeah, practice mindful eating. That's like something I brought home from India, which has been really amazing for me and my relationship with food and like not stressing it and just being present. And that's really nice. So I think those are like the pillars of my morning routine that I can't live without at the moment. But it's like it's always changing, even with the
Yeah, it's
season
ever
or
changing.
like. Yeah, that's the beautiful thing of like a healing journey because in a year it's probably going to look completely different. And right now, to like be honest, the salary has not been good at all. And like I hate spending expensive money on like salary that gives you
No
nothing.
joy,
Yeah, like
absolutely
no
no joy.
joy and like so little. So, I mean, if you're on the medical medium protocol, it's okay. Like, if you don't have celery juice every single day, of course, like in a perfect world, that would be the best for your like healing. But it's not gonna like, you're not gonna become sicker if you don't have it every single day. And depending on where you are in your healing journey as well, you can allow yourself to not have it every single day. And it's nice because then you can use that time for other things.
Yeah, and I think it's always important to remember, like, it's better to do something than nothing. Because personally, at least, like, I know that I struggle a lot with the, like, all or nothing mindset around, like, especially these protocols. And I think it's important to remember that even if you, like, I don't know, juice an apple and some spinach or kale and maybe a little bit of celery or whatnot, like, even that is gonna benefit your body. And so, like, yeah, some doing something rather than
Definitely.
nothing is always gonna be better.
Yeah. And I mean, the lemon water is so much more accessible, I feel like. And
for
then
sure.
if you don't have the celery juice, then you can just have the luxury of getting another 16 ounces of lemon water in the morning, or doing one that you're doing, like maybe half a lemon with room temperature water, and then you can do the hot lemon water with some raw honey to mix it up a little bit.
For sure. Yeah, no, I completely agree. So moving on to our second to last question, is that right?
Yeah, let's go.
Which is how to tap into your intuition, or in quotation marks, listen to your body. So this is such a good question. And I think for a lot of people, it can be really confusing and kind of feel very far away when people say, like, oh, listen to your body. It's like at the beginning, I know that for myself, I had no idea what that meant. And so it can be very kind of confusing to understand what that really means. So for me personally, I think throughout my journey, it's just something that I kind of learned about. It's not something that I just kind of like immediately was like, oh, now I'm listening to my body. But it's really about kind of understanding how your body works, how your body reacts to certain things, the signals that it sends to you, and like how it sends those signals. And just understanding like when you thrive the best, and like under what conditions, under what, like in what environment, and all those things. So I think it's about really taking the time to kind of understand yourself better. And there's obviously different tools in order to kind of get you to that place, such as like journaling is a really good one, because you can always go back and kind of understand where you were and the environment that you were in and how you're feeling, maybe the symptoms that you were experiencing, and the things that you were doing, and then comparing that, or like seeing the progress of you know, what you've been doing, what you've been working on, and then seeing how you kind of can get to a better place or where you want to be. And I think with your intuition, some things that you can kind of practice to tap more into your intuition is definitely meditation, because you can really just like train your mind to kind of sense your body in a better way. I think there's so many different ways to kind of go about this. But I think the main thing to remember is kind of that it just takes time for you to understand yourself, especially if for many years you didn't, you kind of, let's say, ignored signals that your body, or you didn't know that your body was sending you signals, and kind of understanding that your body is always trying to make you aware of certain things, and any kind of symptom is in a way your body saying like, oh, take a look at this, and like, here's something that you can work on. So seeing it from that point of view, I think, is like, you can kind of gain more awareness about yourself. And
I really agree with what you're saying about like our body is really constantly sending us signals. And if you're experiencing any type of like reoccurring symptoms, that's your body keeping on telling you, hello, something is wrong. Look into this and help me out. And for a lot of people in modern society, like we're so disconnected from ourselves because we're constantly stressing about, we're constantly like moving from point A to B. And we never take time to just sit with ourselves or be with ourselves, because at the end of the day of a stressful 9-to-5 job, you have to pick up your kids or you have to do the groceries. And then when you get back home after you eat in front of the sofa and the television, then you watch a show, and you like, that's also disconnecting because it's not really resting. It's just a way of disconnecting from your reality and like yourself. So seeing where you can take like carve out some time for yourself each day, and that's also like going on a walk or sitting on a bench out in nature, just 10 minutes and listen to yourself, listen to the nature and like what feelings you're achieving from doing that. And that's the same with meditation and journaling. Like, what does it give to you by doing that? Does it bring you happiness or a calm mind? And I think the more you do that, the more you will become familiar with your like own intuition and your body and all of the different signs. So it's like a constant practice that you have to maintain. And the more you do it, the deeper into your intuition you will come. And sometimes you get disconnected for a while and you get a little further away from it, but that doesn't mean that you can't come back to it. So I think that's really important to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's just about being mindful, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And any like practice that brings you that mindfulness will be a way of bringing you into intuition, and meditation, journaling, walking, listening to like calm music, doing visual imagery, painting, like different creative tasks usually tend to bring you more in alignment with your intuition. But it can be different. It can be like gardening, for example.
Yeah, it looks different for every person.
Yeah,
for sure.
So there's not one single way, but there are plenty of ways. And these were just some of our tips. And a final note, and the final question is how to deal with insomnia. And myself, like I had a lot, this was one of my like symptoms when I was sick and I had insomnia. Like, even though I felt like I didn't have energy to even get out of bed, I somehow like couldn't fall asleep at night because I felt like when it was time to sleep, that's when I got my energy. And this depends so much on what you're going through and what your like health history is and what it looks like. But usually like sleeping problems is derived from the liver and your health, like liver health. But I also think when you're chronically ill or experience symptoms that debilitate you from doing a lot of daily tasks, it's hard for your body to navigate like what time of the day it is, especially if you're like laying in your bedroom. That's a place where your body is to rest and fall asleep. And if you're awake in that space all the time, then how will it know when it's time to fall asleep? So, and insomnia can also be caused by like a lot of viral activity inside of your body. Like, your body is constantly fighting, and how will you fall asleep when it's like in attack mode? So yeah, really practicing like meditation, breath work in bed to wind down, dim the lights, and try to like separate your day and your spaces from like where you sleep to where you do other things. And if you're really sick, I know that's hard because basically like I lived in my bed for a year. And that can just be like going onto the mat or like the rug in your sleep room, in your bedroom, and sit there for a while and try to get routines, because that's like something I developed very late in my healing journey, like really trying to wake up at the same time, trying to go to bed at the same time, because then you will send your body those signals of when it's time to wind down, basically. And the more you practice that, the more your body will become in tune with like your body's needs in terms of sleep. And probably, hopefully, as you heal, your insomnia will also disappear.
Yeah, no, those are some really good tips. And kind of going along with what you said, I think having an evening routine can be super helpful with this, because it really kind of allows your body to understand that it's time to rest and it's time to sleep, and it prepares yourself to be able to fall asleep faster and have a better quality sleep as well. And you know, this can be like literally half an hour if that's the only time that you have, but really try to disconnect from like technology, I think, is a really important thing, because the lights that the blue lights from the your devices kind of give your body signals that it's daytime, and that will then affect your sleep in the end, because you're not in that space of like going to sleep. And so getting away from technology, doing some like resting and restorative things like a meditation you can do, or doing some gentle movement to kind of slow down your body and help you digest your dinner, Or even something that I love to do is putting my le legs up on the wall just to kind of get that like flow down a little bit if you've been standing a lot or sitting a lot throughout the day. Even journaling just to kind of get your thoughts onto paper can be a really good way to kind of like get your mind to kind of wind down a lot as well. And another really great tip for insomnia, I think, is doing like a sleep meditation. So putting this on when you're already in bed and about to fall asleep or go to sleep, you put on the sleeping meditation and it just plays while you're sleeping. I think one thing to kind of remember with this is to try to download it so that you can put your phone on airplane mode so that you don't have
Radiation,
the
the waves,
radiation,
yeah,
thank you, the
frequency
waves
waves.
exactly, while you're sleeping. And also something that you can do is reading before you go to sleep, because that's also a really great way to kind of get your eyes more like used to slowing down. And like if you have a paperback book, that's obviously the best thing. And it helps a lot of people also just be able to fall asleep faster. So yeah, those are some really great tips. And yeah, I think it really is just about kind of healing throughout the day because it really is all connected. And you know, bringing in those healing foods and obviously having those healing practices so that you can fall asleep better and have more quality sleep so that you feel more rested.
Yes. Sleep is so important. And I really get that it can be so frustrating because it's one of the things you especially need a lot of when going through any like illness or just like me now, like when I'm a much healthier person without so many symptoms, when I do come down with like the cold, or like now when I have the sore throat, I notice that I'm more tired than usually and that I need more sleep, of course. So your body really does need that sleep, even though you have insomnia. So try to navigate how you can help your body fall asleep and start your nighttime routine like earlier on in the day.
So I think that pretty much sums it up for this episode. It was a little bit all over the place, so I'm so sorry about that. I hope it's gonna come together in the end. A lot of external sounds and things going on. But
Wi-Fi disruptions, construction work, and a little bit of this and that, but we're so happy if you stuck with us all the way to the
Hopefully next week is going to be better. But yeah, no, we hope that you're able to take something away from this, and we really enjoyed recording this for you guys, and yeah, super excited for the next one.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much for tuning in and chatting with us a little bit. See you next week.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode.
If you found something helpful, make sure to share this episode with your friend or a loved one you think could benefit from it.
And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe and leave a review because it really helps spread the word to more health babes around.
If you haven't already, also make sure to follow our Instagram at Highway to Health Pod to stay up to date and connected on our upcoming episodes. And also follow our personal accounts at She's Powered by Plants and at LV Heels to get to know us even better.
Talk
Talk to you
to you
next
next week.
week.
Bye.
Bye.